Amen. Good to see those children going to class. Those children, you know, a child can say something, and they can either make you feel really good or really bad in a hurry, can't they? And they don't even know they've done it, either way. This morning, one of the children here in the church stopped me out here, and he said, "Are you the preacher?" And I said, "Well, I guess I am today." I said, "But just for today, you know." And he said, "Where's the old preacher?" He's my new best friend in this church, I guarantee you. Brother David might want to counsel him, but I love him. Where's the old preacher? That's what I'm going to start calling Brother David when he comes back. The old preacher. Oh, mercy. Well, this is kind of a unique situation, but November 27th, 1941, my dad was born. Today's his birthday. You know, normally he's here, you know, but he couldn't be here today for health reasons. But he was born in this town, in a little house right down two blocks from here. It's no longer there anymore. You know, back in the day, they were born in homes. You know, they didn't go to the hospital to have a baby. We got several about to have babies in our church now. But he was born in the home right down here at the bottom of the hill. November 27th, 1941. Can you imagine? Whew, that's a lot of years. Think about all the changes that he's seen in his life. And I was really hoping he would be here today because I was going to bring up a point about the church, you know, this church here, that sometime shortly after he was born, well, this church was planted. And so he began to come to this church with his mother. My grandmother, Lily Patterson, came here and brought my dad with her. And I look around, I see some people that I know came to church also here whenever they were younger and have been here from the, you know, from the beginning days of this church. And so, but my dad came to church here, and as a young boy, he gave his heart to Christ through the ministries of this church. Now, he grew up and joined the Marines. Won't talk about those years, but he grew up, joined the Marines, but he came back and he married a Christian woman. And she had given her heart to Christ as an 8-year-old girl at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Shawnee. She's from Shawnee, and that's my mother back there. And so they moved around a little bit, but finally planted back in this area. And they had three kids. They had my oldest brother and then my sister. And then I came along, and that's when they quit, because once you get the best, you don't need anything else. So then once I was born, they figured that's all we got the best. So let's don't mess up after this. So anyway, but my brother came as a boy through the ministry of this church and gave his heart to Christ. My sister, who's here today, came through the ministries of this church and gave her heart to Christ. I came to know Christ through the ministry of this church. So what am I saying? Four of the five people in the home that I grew up in came to know Christ through the ministry of this church. I have, my brother's got two daughters, and they both know Christ, and their grandkids are too young at this point. They're still babies. My sister, she has two kids. They know Christ. Their families know Christ. My kids have all made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, and as the grandkids of even them, or of us kids, are getting older, as each one of them comes into that age of being aware and conscious of their sinfulness and their condition without Christ, they're coming to know Christ. And you say, why are you saying all that? Well, you say, what does this church mean to you, Brother Mark? Everything. My eternal destiny. It's in Christ. We sang about Jesus. It's all Christ. We know that. But man, I'm telling you, you want to go somewhere where you know you have seen Jesus at work, and you have seen the hand of God at work. I don't have to go anywhere but here. This is the only place I got to go to know for sure. I mean, I could go some other places where I've seen him at work, and I could take you some other places. But I'm telling you, man, the ministry of this church has had a tremendous impact on our family. And people faithfully coming and serving God, just like you're doing today. I saw the young Birch boy come, and he's going to be baptized here coming up before long. He came a couple of weeks ago, and from what I understood, he already knew Christ, but he was coming to follow the Lord publicly in believer's baptism. And I just thought, you know, someday he's going to be 80, if the Lord tarries long enough, and he might be sitting here in this church and have kids who came to know Christ and grandkids who came to know Christ. And all through the ministry of this church, you just don't know. Man, don't ever think that what you're doing is not for the kingdom. And don't ever think it's not making a difference in somebody's life. I mean, everything we do for Jesus makes a difference for the kingdom in someone's life. It's making eternal impact and difference. And you may not even see it and know it. I mean, you may not even know what happens to people when they leave here and move on or something, you know, and grow up as a kid here and then move on and go on. But God could be using them in a tremendous way somewhere. And you don't even know it. And I think about all the people that I've known through this church when I was a kid. Man, I could sit here and I could start naming names. If some of you'd know them, I see Virgil. Virgil Vaughn would know everybody that I would, everybody that I would know and that I would name today of people who have faithfully served God. And I tell you, his mom and dad were two of them. Dan and Mary Vaughn were two of the finest Christian people and served the Lord in this church for years, and Virgil's served here for years. And man, I mean, I have a sense of appreciation for these people because the things that they did have paved the way for us today to be here and to serve the Lord and have the opportunities that we have to do what we do. So when I see them children leave, I think to myself, somebody taught me when I was a kid in this church. And now somebody's teaching others. Bessie and Esther Savage taught me in little church. Anybody remember them? Anybody remember Bessie and Esther Savage? I see some hands go up. Jerry, you know you were around. You're old. You're older than me. You're old. That kid said it, all right? You're old. Listen to me. You can look back on this church and see what you want to see. You can see what you want to see. You can be defined as a church. You can even be defined in your personal life by what you want to see when you look back in your life. Do you remember in Philippians 3 when Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press on. Forgetting those things which are behind. You can't forget the past, can you? So did he mean get it out of your mind? Nope, that's not what he meant. He meant, don't look back at the past and let the past have a negative impact on your present and your future. That's what he meant. There's good lessons to be learned from the past. It's not necessarily a wrong thing to look back, but you got to be careful when you look back. Because, see, you can even look back on the good things and it can become negative for you in the present and the future. You know what happens when people look back sometimes? You know what the whole problem with looking is? The word looking, sight. You see, we walk by faith, not by sight, do we not? And so many times people are walking by sight. What they see that happened. What they see that didn't happen. What they see that they're not now because of what did happen. You see, and that's what you have to be careful about when you look back in your personal life or in your corporate church life. You have to be careful that when you look back that you don't say, well, that's what you see. You know what I see when I look back? I see a whole family that knows Christ, the family I'm in. That's what I see. When I think about this church, I think my whole family knows the Lord because of this church. Now, I realize God gets the glory and Christ did the saving. Trust me, I was in ministry 21 years. I never saved anyone. Jesus saved everybody that ever came to know the Lord in the ministries where I served at. People don't save people. Jesus saves people. And so, but this church, is, you know, you can look back and see what you want to see. You can do it in your own life. You know what? Many times we find ourselves complaining when we look back, do we not? We'll complain about this, complain about that. Well, this happened, that happened. Well, we're not what this was, you know. You ever look, hey, In my personal life, guess what? At about 40-something years of age, I had to accept a new normal. I am a planner. And let me tell you something, I'm right on the border of OCD. Don't talk to my wife about it. She'll say I am. But, I mean, I'm a planner. And when we make a plan, we stick to that plan. That's shopping on Saturdays, too. Don't throw something new in the mix that I didn't know we was going to throw in the mix when we left the house. All right? Because I'm not going to Walmart on Saturday. All right? So if you don't tell me that we're going this, this, and this, and then get down there to Shawnee and say, oh, I got to run to Walmart real quick on a Saturday. You'll send me over. I'll need medicine. I'm not even kidding you, man. And somebody else will need it when I get done with them. But listen, where was I even going with this story now? I don't know. But you look back, and it, you know, if you're not careful, you'll find yourself complaining about what your life has been, you know, and what it's not. And, oh, here's where I was going. You know, at 40-something years of age, I had to accept a new normal. I had my whole life planned out. I mean, I knew this is, I felt like I was where God wanted me to be. I was in ministry, da-da-da-da-da-da. And I thought, this is where I'm going to be till I retire, till I go home to meet the Lord. This is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. And all of a sudden, I wasn't doing that anymore. And you want to talk about a hard transition. You want to talk about the most difficult thing I've ever done in my life is to say, I'm not a preacher anymore, and I got to climb in this truck and go to work every day like normal people. I mean, that was hard. It was a new normal that I had to accept for my life. But, you know, individuals have to do that sometimes. I mean, if I was to allow you the time to talk, most of you would say that my life hadn't necessarily turned out exactly how I wanted it to. I hope yours has. I hope you are exactly what you planned to be when you were young. I set goals for myself. I set financial goals. I set family goals. I set relationship goals. That's just the kind of person I am. I set those kinds of things. And so when you look back at the past, you got to be careful that you don't get stuck there. You can get stuck in an event that happened to you. You can get stuck in a time, and churches can do the same thing. Churches cannot get stuck at a time in the past. Do not look back and let the enemy dictate what your present is to be and what your future is to be. We walk by faith, not by sight. What does that faith look like? It looks like a people who are searching after God and saying, we'll do what God is doing. Where is God at work? What is God doing? This is what we're going to do, not worry about what's happened in the past and what we're not today because of it. We're going to be who God wants us to be. God is at work. He is moving and working all the time. Our only responsibility is to find where God is working, identify it, and join him in that work. Amen. That's our role as Christians. That's our role as the body of Christ. We have to be careful. Even Solomon said, the wisest man that ever lived on the face of the earth other than Jesus, even he said, do not say, remember the good old days. How many people do that? I do that. Now, he's not talking about looking back. And, you know, because, I mean, when I run into somebody from high school, I've seen an old friend over here today, Hannah's here today. She and I graduated high school today, or not today, but we graduated high school a long time ago. I can't say because you're not supposed to talk about her age. It doesn't matter what my age is because I'm a guy, but you can't talk about a girl's age. But anyway, Hannah's here. When I run into old high school friends, it's not uncommon to say, remember when this? Remember when that? Sometimes I'll send a friend of mine a text. I have certain friends I keep up with, old Jeff and a few of them. And I'll send them a text and I'll say, hey, remember that time when we got in trouble for this or that? You know, good times, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah. You know, we had good times. That's not what Solomon is saying. But he's saying, don't look back even on the good times that you had. You see, remember the good old days. Remember the good old days? Don't look back on that and let it have a negative impact on where you are today and where you're going in the future. Nobody holds the future in this church but God. Amen. And what he's going to do. Amen. And what he is doing right now. And I'll tell you something. People say, well, I don't even know where to get started at. You just get started with what you know you ought to do, and that is being faithful to God in whatever way he wants you to be faithful. And he'll begin to show you what he's doing. And then you can't even imagine what God's going to do in the future. You have to be able to adjust. You have to be able to accept. You have to be able to, modify and go forward and accept new normals for yourself and even for your church sometimes. You have to do that. I'll tell you what, let's just do that. Take my sermon deal down. Philippians 3, listen to this. I knew I'd do this. I brought it up in Sunday school that when I was preaching, I used to preach another sermon than what I prepared. And darned if it's not going to happen again. Let me get my glasses out because I'm young. Look in Philippians chapter 3. Do you remember what Paul said? In verse 12, he said, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, I press on that I lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." You see, forgetting those things which are behind, forgetting the past. He didn't mean not to have a remembrance of them. Just don't let them have a bad impact on you today. Don't let them dictate your, don't let them define you. Don't let your past define you. Whatever you do, do not let the enemy ever define you. God defines us. We are his children. Are you a child of God? Yes, you are. Then Jesus Christ lives in you. That's who defines you. Jesus Christ defines you, not what anybody's ever said about you. You know, on a personal level, there's people here today, I do believe, because I was in ministry so long, I heard some crazy things of what people have been told in their life, things people have said to him. I'm talking about things parents have said to them, things grandparents have said to them, things people they love have said to them. Tremendous hurt, tremendous blow. And sadly, some of those people believed it for a lot of years. They just let themselves be less than what they could be and really were in Christ because they believed what somebody they loved told them about them. People have been told they're worthless. People have been told all kinds of things, you know. You should have never been born. All these kinds, by their parents. Do I need to say what's wrong with that? I will say this. I really wasn't supposed to be born. Did you know that my dad, after my sister was born, he said, "We got a girl and a boy. We got a boy and a girl." He didn't want to have any more. So he went to the doctor to do something about it. The doctor said, "No." This doctor was not a Christian man. He said, "No." My dad said, "Why?" He said, "My family's complete. I got a son. I got a daughter. We don't want any more kids." The doctor said, "I don't really know why. But," he said, "I just don't think I should do it yet." So he didn't do it. So my mom got on birth control. Guess who got pregnant on birth control? My mother. Yeah. Then guess who goes into ministry? You know, it's amazing when God has a specific purpose and a plan for somebody that he's going to use, how the enemy, in ways, tries to prevent their birth. Do you remember the story of Moses? When else did that happen? Jesus? I wonder sometimes when I look around at all the death of babies today, who's the enemy trying to prevent from being born today? What great man of God that's going to stand up and declare the boldness and the truth of God's word is the enemy trying to prevent from coming into this world? Probably is already here. Whew. Look, he said, forgetting those things which are behind. You see, we forget those things. But then he says, I press on twice. What is that? Forgetting the past, forging ahead. When you press on, what does that give you the view of? Does that give you the idea of you just strolling along on a nice, you know, warm, sunny day? No. When you're pressing, it means you're doing it in the face of adversity. It means there's some kind of obstacle in your way, does it not? It gives you that imagery. The imagery is, hey, this is not going to be an easy task, but I've got to do it. And he says, I press on. We are to press on. The church, the individuals, the Christians, the corporate body of Christ, we forget the past in that we don't let it affect our present and our future, and we're not defined by it. But at the same time, we press on into those things of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of us, he says. Look at it. I press on that I may lay, verse 12, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Then go down to verse 14. I press toward the goal. There's that word press again. Toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What is the upward call of God in Christ Jesus? That's that day when he calls us up. That's our salvation. But in the meantime, what is that for which, in verse 12, what is that for which he took hold of me? Is that salvation also? No, that's not just salvation. Okay, he did take hold of us for salvation, but if he just took hold of us to save us, we'd all go to heaven as soon as we got saved. You see? He took hold of us for something else too. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, lest any man should boast, not of works. Ephesians 2, 10. For we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. He laid hold of us to serve. So we forget the past, we forge ahead, and we faithfully follow. That's what the Church of Jesus Christ has to do. We have to faithfully follow Jesus Christ. In what ways? Faithfully following in service to Him. We serve Him. He laid hold of us for good works. Other people need to know Christ. Other people still have yet come to know Christ. And it is our responsibility to carry that message to them. It is our responsibility to be the light of Jesus Christ as a church. And then also for salvation, we faithfully follow to lay hold of that prize, that upward call of God in Christ Jesus, that day when we finally hear our name called, when Jesus comes back and we all go at one time. That day, we take hold of it, we press toward that day. That's what we set our eyes on. What are our eyes to be set on here? That upward call of God. You see, He's talking about an eternal mindset. He's talking about getting out of this world, being detached from this world. I would say, you know, I don't expect the unsaved world to act like the saved. I don't expect lost people to act saved. But at the same time, and I've done it, I don't expect saved people to act like unsaved. And this is what He's saying. We have to think eternally. We have to get outside this little box we live in that we've put God in and limited Him to, and saying, well, this is who we are. This is all we can do. This is all we'll ever be. And, you know, it's just all in the flesh here. This is an eternal mindset. Look what He goes on to say in verse 15. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. Well, I kind of think Paul's saying, grow up here, you people that don't think like this. You people that can't see this. You people that just stuck and you can't move forward with God. You know, you're living in the past, man. Has anybody ever said that to you? Don't you like it when somebody says, you know what your problem is? You just say, no, but I think you're about to tell me. Right? Yeah. Paul's like, here's your problem. You got to have an eternal mindset. And if any of you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. You see, God will show you. You know what? Don't make the mistake, church, of trying to make people think like you think. Because trust me, they don't. God has to make them think like He thinks. You see, it's not our job to make people think like we think. It's frustrating. Church work can be so frustrating. Especially if you get sidetracked while you're doing it, you know, spiritually sidetracked. But it can be frustrating because, you know, you're like, well, I'm the only one doing this. You know what I learned a long time ago? I don't complain about what people aren't doing. If I'm doing something, it doesn't matter if anybody else shows up to do it. I'm there because I'm where God wants me to be, and that's the only person I got to be responsible for. And so if nobody else has that burden on their heart that day to be there to do that thing, whatever it may be, I'm not going to complain about who's not there. I'm going to rejoice with who is and grow in fellowship with them and accomplish what I'm there to accomplish. What other people do is between them and God. I'm going to mind my own business. I'm not going to be a busybody. Amen? Do I need to preach on busybodies tonight? Now listen, God will reveal even this to them. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. You see? Look, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you all have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. The church cannot have its mind on earthly things. Listen, we're a family, okay? But we're a church family. You have a family. You understand the family concept, do you not? I realize there's a business side to church. I probably realize it as much as anybody in here because I've dealt with it all those years, and you guys have too. But you do have family business, right? I mean, you got family business at home that requires a checkbook. It requires money. It requires, you know, a little bit of accounting knowledge and paying bills and making sure you live within your means. I mean, you got family business to do. You got to sit down sometimes with your family and say, look, you know, we're going to do it this way from now on. Or no, we're not going to do it this way. No, we're not going to allow that in the house anymore. As for me and my house, men, we will serve the Lord. Okay, it's a parental decision. As for me and my house. And so, look, he says, they have set their mind on earthly things. We've got to set our minds on eternal things. And that is walking by faith, believing in what God is doing, finding out what he's doing, and just simply following him in simple faith for your personal life, for your church life, for all of that. Otherwise, listen to me, I've been here. I have been stuck on a particular time in my past. And it affected everything in a negative way in my present and future at that time. And it can happen not only personally, it can happen corporately to a church as well. And I'm here to tell you, God has a long, rich history of winning people to Jesus through this church, through the ministries of this church. This church has done some great things for God over the years. You look back, you see what you want to see. But here's what I encourage you to do. Get your mind off earthly things, what you can see, and get your mind on faith things, the eternal things of God, and what God wants to do. You know, we look back, what do? So we see our own failures, and we see the failures of others that affected us, don't we? It's easy to do that. It's easy to look back and see how somebody let us down, individually and corporately. We can easily do that. But I think the word from the scripture here today is don't do that. Forget those things in that sense. And he says, they've set their mind on earthly things, for our citizenship is in heaven. Look, you're a citizen of the United States. You're a resident of whatever town you live in. But all of that is superseded by the fact that you have a citizenship in heaven. You're not looking forward to your salvation someday. You are already saved. You're not waiting to die to start eternal life. You are already living your eternal life right now. You're already in your eternal life. We have to die to self. Have you ever? Amen. Galatians 2:20. For it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ that lives in me. We have to die to flesh. We have to die to the things of this world, detach from the things of this world. How many of you have been to a funeral and they open that casket and you walk past that casket and you see that guy laying in there and you think to yourself, that's one greedy sucker right there. You ever known somebody that was greedy and you go to their funeral and they never said he was greedy at the funeral? It's like, but you know, right? You walk past and you think, phew. And so you walk past and, you know, of course you don't talk about those things. You don't talk about people's faults at their funeral, do you? I mean, every funeral I've ever been through, I've never heard anybody go to hell at a funeral. You ever been to a funeral where that person went to hell? Never been to one. Never heard anybody ever preach anybody into hell. So you come by the casket, you know, and you think, I'm just going to test this guy. I know he was greedy. So you pull out a $100 bill. Nobody's looking. You wave it under his nose, you know, like Mr. Drysdale on the Beverly Hillbillies. Anybody remember him? He'd pass out because somebody would threaten to pull Jed Clampett's money out of his bank. Y'all do know what the Beverly Hillbillies are, don't you? That was TV when it was good, okay, and clean. Somebody'd wave a $20 bill under his nose. He'd come out of his little faint spell. You wave that $100 bill, what is that guy going to do? You can come by there and insult him. What's he going to do? He ain't moving. Why? Because he is unresponsive to the things of this world. He's detached. He gone. All right? And you got to be gone. You got to be here, but be gone. You got to be in the world, but not of the world. You got to detach from the world and understand your citizenship is in heaven. You're a child of God. Jesus Christ lives in you. He's created you in him for good works to serve him and make a difference. And someday somebody's going to come to know Christ when you start doing that. It'll happen, I'm telling you. Some plant, some water, God gives the increase, but we play a role in that. We are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have to understand who we are and accept that. Now look what he says going on. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we not wait for Jesus to come back? Who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Man. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. The enemy requires us to stand fast in the Lord. Where have you heard the word stand before? Ephesians 6? Yeah, like 3 or 4 times when he's talking about the enemy and what we face in the devil and all that he brings against us. He says, stand fast in the Lord. Stand sure, stand ready. You know what I picture when I hear that? You know, I picture somebody getting ready. Of course, now I'm left-handed, so, I shouldn't have told you all that. Now I don't have the element of surprise on you if one of you tries to attack me or something. But I'm left-handed, so my left's coming at you first. That's all I'm saying. But don't worry, most of you are too tall. They'll probably hit you in the arm or something, all right, coming around. But I picture someone getting ready, bracing themselves to take a hit, to take a blow. Are you ready to take a blow? I'll tell you what I thought I was. I wasn't. You ready to take whatever Satan throws at you? Be careful about bragging, too, about how strong you are and how tough you are. I mean, in the spiritual sense, because you can get tested in it and find out, I wasn't quite as tough as I thought I was. Wasn't quite as spiritual as I thought I was. Be wise. Be smart. Be faithful. Stand. Be watching. Be vigilant. Watching for the enemy. I want to tell you something. This year, we've seen some baptism. Brother David, I know nothing makes him happier than getting that baptismal water, man, and baptize the people that he's baptized this year. And we even have some more coming up. And it's exciting to see that, is it not? Anywhere God is at work, listen to me, he has Satan's attention. The enemy has his sights on that. You say, well, we don't want any more of that. There's nothing we can do about it but fight. I know, trust me. I've been tired of throwing the white towel, raise it, white flag, whatever you want to call it. But you got to. This is what we're called to. It's going to be a continual fight until Jesus comes back or until we go home. You signed up for it, man. When you gave your heart to Jesus, when you said, I want to go to heaven and not hell, you signed up for the duty. And don't go AWOL on us. Don't go AWOL on us. Absent without leave. Listen, now we've all done that, have we not, at some time or another? We may have been at church, but we could have still been AWOL in our minds and hearts and in our service to the Lord. Don't do that. Listen, God did God plant this church here? He sure did. I can think back to a name, Hollis Morris. Virgil, you remember him? I think he was the guy that was preaching when my dad gave his heart to the Lord. Over in that auditorium over there, Hollis Morris. Some of y'all probably, I think he came back. I know he was here at the 60th anniversary because I came to that. And he was here for the morning. I think he came for the morning and preached that morning sermon here on that day. Y'all remember him, Hollis? He was an old guy. And Hollis, but yeah, God laid on that man's heart to come out here to New Walla from Oklahoma City and plant a church out here. For rednecks. Why? Because rednecks need Jesus. Amen. Country people need Jesus. I was told here a while back that's an offensive term now. I don't mean it to be offensive. I lived in the panhandle. I worked the rodeo out there one day without a cowboy hat on. I had to work the chute for the cows going out for the header and heelers. And I didn't wear a cowboy hat. The next day at church, my neck was as red as those flowers. I said, I know where the term comes from now. I know why cowboys wear a cowboy hat. Just keep their neck from getting blistered in the hot sun. Pioneer days in Guymon, Oklahoma. I worked that rodeo every year when it came up. And I learned after that, wear something to cover your neck because it's going to hurt. But God brought a man out here to start a church. to win people to Jesus. That's our mission, to win people to Jesus. That's God has not changed that goal for this church. He hadn't changed the mission for this church. Along the way, over the years, you know, people have come, people have gone home to be with the Lord. The people in this church may change a little bit, but God's still the same, isn't he? His word never changes. His word is still the same. It's the same mission for the church. The same mission he has for this church is what he has for First Baptist McLeod, First Baptist Hera, New Life, every single one of them. It's the same mission. You don't have to go on a search to figure out what's our mission. People spend months, get committees and delegations and all kinds of things to figure out what the mission of the church is. To seek and to save the lost. That's it. That's your number one priority. Now, a lot of things go into play underneath that to help support that, like discipling people and things like that. You got to do all that kind of stuff to equip people to do those kinds of things, to fulfill the mission of the church. But God planted this church here, and you're a part of it now. You're a part of a work of God by being here in this church. I mean, when you really think about it, it gets kind of exciting when you think about that. I'm just going to ask this question. How many people in here, well, by a raise of hands, came to know Christ in this church and have been baptized in this church at some point in time in the past? Jerry. Okay. Roy Eckerd. Yeah. All right. See there? I mean, there's an impact. It carried over into their families outside the walls of this church. How many of you have somebody in your family that has been saved and baptized in this church, even if you weren't? Yeah, a few more hands go up right there, don't they? Yeah. Other people impacted through the ministry of this church. Man, I'm trying to be a cheerleader today if you hadn't figured it out. I mean, I really feel like God just wanted me to, you know, I didn't think this way until I got up here. But then I just really feel like that God wanted me to just encourage you, to help you to see, look back and see the good. Look back and see what God has done to bring so many people to the Lord, and let that be an encouragement to you. Let that motivate you to say, I'm going to be a healthy, good, solid member of that church, and I'm going to serve in any way I can. I'm going to help Brother David in any way I can. I'm going to help the ministries of that church in any way I can. And you know what? This hill can't hold them if we'll do that. This auditorium ain't big enough. When the church literally becomes the church, there ain't enough seats in here for the people. Man, Jesus couldn't get away from the crowds, could he? Aaron sang about Jesus all morning this morning. And then that last song she sang, What a Beautiful Name. Whoo, man, that's one of my favorite songs. And when the world sees Jesus in the church, guess where they're coming? They're coming to that church. I'm telling you. That or they see other fluffy stuff. They'll come to church for two reasons, Jesus or fluff. Sadly, the fluff gets a lot of them too. Some of them don't preach enough Jesus for the Holy Spirit to even be able to convict anybody. I mean, you got to give enough truth for the Holy Spirit to work. But Jesus couldn't get away from the crowds. The people were gravitating to him. They were just smothering him. That was always my philosophy. We're just going to preach and teach Jesus and leave the consequences to God. And I'm not going to worry. I believe that's where the blessing came from, was the truth about Jesus Christ. I believe that's where the blessing on a church comes from. I don't believe all the other stuff. Trust me, I'm not a big constitution bylaws person. They're great. I'm not a big rules person. I don't like all that stuff, you know. Especially not when it hinders the ability to make decisions sometimes that need to be made quickly. I don't care about all that stuff. I don't care about power. I don't care about position. I spent 21 years as a pastor. I know all about that stuff. I do not care. But what I do care about are the kids that left here earlier to go to class. And are they going to come to know Christ? And do their mamas and daddies know Christ? Do their grandparents know Christ? The salvation of people. I've run the full gamut, beloved, since I came to know Christ at 14. I've been faithful, I've been unfaithful. I've been with him, and I've walked away for a season of my life. And thank the Lord that he never gave up on me, and I'm back. And I have no intentions of ever missing anything of God again. I don't want to. I don't want to miss a service in this church. It makes me mad when I have to work late on a Wednesday or can't get in time to get here. I mean, literally, like I get angry. Sin because I can't go to church. Man, fall in love with Jesus, but fall in love with your church here. Fall in love with one another. And I see a beautiful fellowship. I really do. I see people in this church that can do all kinds of things. There is no telling what we could accomplish in this church, man, of just people being faithful to the Lord and just loving one another and loving God. I'm telling you, this, we could create an even richer future than our past has been. Let's pray. Father God, convict us today, Lord, of everything that we haven't been because of things we've let come up in our own minds and in our own hearts. Lord, remove all of those things from us, God. Bring healing. There may be individuals here today, God, who have had bad things happen to them in their past, and they just need to be healed. They need to be released from all of those things. They need to detach, Lord. And it's so easy for me to preach about it, but God, it takes a work to do it. And so, Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would help them to begin to detach from those things and that they would start with just a verbal commitment today that they're going to do it, that they're going to surrender it all to Jesus, that they're going to give you their heart, give you their life, give you their service and devotion, and that they're going to follow you, Lord, and they're going to serve faithfully in their life and in this church, Lord. And God, bring healing to their minds and to their hurts and to their lives, God, to their families. There's families that are hurting. And Lord, bring healing to their lives as well. And Lord, may we truly be a loving, compassionate, caring family of yours that cares for one another and that shows this world the love of Christ and is a light for Jesus. And Lord, let it start in our hearts individually today, if it's not already there. I see so many people who I believe do have that, and I thank you for them and for their faithfulness in this church, God. Bless them in a special way, but Lord, bring the rest of us along, God, to serve alongside them and grow to be all that you want us to be. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, you stand with me this morning.